Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We are going to begin chapter 29 this evening, and this chapter records the renewal of Israel's covenant with the Lord. So let's take a look at verse 1 together. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb.
So you have to understand that the ones that he's talking to now is many of them were not there when the nation was delivered from Egypt and God had made the covenant at Mount Sinai. However, many were there. A lot of people think that everybody was wiped out in the 40 years of the wilderness. But it was only the military, those 20 years and above, and the military are the ones that died in the wilderness. But as far as the nation as a whole, many people were still alive when Moses was given this. But however, in 40 years, obviously, there are many children born in that 40-year period. And so when Moses is addressing the congregation, you'll find that he's telling them, you remember this, you remember that. But there's some of them in that congregation that wasn't there. But now he's renewing this covenant in that, and we'll get into this in other verses here, to where God is wanting that covenant very relevant, very obvious to every generation. It's not just to one generation, it's to every generation. So consequently, every generation needs to hear the covenant of the Lord. They need to understand what their obligations are, understanding what God's side of the covenant is and what their side of the covenant is. It's not a one-sided deal. And today, people tend to think God's supposed to do everything and we're to get all the benefits. But the covenant is two-sided. The covenant that God cut with Jesus is not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of the kingdom of God. But we're also benefited by it, you understand?
And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto all his servants, and unto his land, the great temptations which thine eyes have seen, the signs and those great miracles. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day.
Now, let me give you my translation, or my actually paraphrase of this particular scripture. Moses assembled the Israelites and said to them, Even though you've seen all the great trials and miracles the Lord did to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians in the land of Egypt, your hearts did not perceive what he did. The eyes of your understanding have not recognized, and your inward ears have not heard. And this is the way it is so often in any church service, how people can hear things with their physical ears, they can see things with their natural eyes, but they don't comprehend what God's done. As a matter of fact, we were just talking about it recently, how God has done so many things here in this place. And how just most people don't even realize what God's done. The hearts are not grabbing onto this. And although Israel saw God just supernaturally pass judgment on Egypt before the Israelites left the land, how the land was destroyed, how God supernaturally blessed them by the Egyptians giving them anything they requested. As a matter of fact, the scripture says they spoiled Egypt when they came out. I mean, they like plunder of a war, so they came out with valuable things. how God parted the Red Sea, how God supernaturally fed them, how God destroyed their enemy, and all these things. They saw it with their eyes, but they never realized the magnitude of what God was doing. And consequently, they murmur and complain against their deliverer. Now, you would think we would learn from history, but times haven't changed. People still do the same thing. They can see things with their eyes, hear things with their ears, but it never gets into the heart of what God has done for us. Eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither's entered into the heart of man, but God reveals to us. But who's He revealing to? Those who have a heart that's reaching out to God, not just a head wanting more information. And too many people today, this is an information society. People want to fill themselves with information, but they have very little revelation. You understand, this is probably one of the dumbest societies as far as common sense that's ever been. Oh, they're educated. You understand? They have information, they've accumulated information, all kinds of it, through artificial intelligence. Take their calculators away, take their cell phones away, take their computers away, and let's see if they can go out here and function in real life. You see what I'm saying? We don't know, we just don't comprehend how blessed we are. And we, in a society today that thinks you owe them. And how many times have you heard the word entitlement? I'll tell you what you're entitled to. You're entitled to hell. You want to go there? Of course you don't. You don't want what you're entitled to. What you want is what God in His mercy and His grace has provided for you, but recognize it's not because of who you are. You understand? The blessings God's given on me has nothing to do with who I am. I'm not no favorite child, you understand? It's just the mercy of God. It's the grace of God. It's the love of God. Those are the things that Israel never took to heart. It never got in them how much God loved them, the mercy that God extended to them, and the grace upon them. He could have killed them immediately after they got out. It wasn't long after they crossed the Red Sea, they're murmuring and complaining. They were murmuring and complaining at the Red Sea. And what do we do today? Slow learners. Oh, but we think we're smart. No, we're not looking through the eyes of the world. We're looking through the eyes of God. And God would call us foolish. Or actually, He would use a stronger word. It's the word stupid. You see it a lot in Proverbs. King James Version translates it foolish. But if you look at the Hebrew definition, it's stupid. That's one thing to be ignorant. It's another thing to think you know something and you're unteachable. You can't teach a know-it-all, can you? Israel thought they had a better idea than God and never recognized what God was doing for them. That is.
Going back to what we were talking about a few days ago about not recognizing the moves of God, even in this house, if you come expecting to hear from a man, you'll hear a man.
Yeah.
But if you come expecting to hear from the Lord, He'll honor that. He'll speak to your heart and honor that. You know, it was last week. We had a miracle of the Lord that happened in this house. An absolute miracle that man couldn't do. But you know, when we're so focused on the natural, and I think that's what the Israelites did too. We try to explain things away naturally speaking. Oh, well, she must have just, you know, twisted the ankle, made that better, whatever. How do you make yourself grow a half inch? How does that work? God? I think about the Israelites here, not being able to perceive, not being able to see with spiritual eyes or hear with spiritual ears. How many times have we read in the Pentateuch here with the law, God told Moses, God spoke. Time and time again, Moses is reminding the people, this isn't a man giving this to you. This is God giving you this instruction. Recognize where this instruction is coming from. And if you're not spiritually sensitive right here and right now, all you have to do is ask the Lord, help me see you. Help me hear you. Open my spiritual eyes. Open my spiritual ears. So I can see, so that I can hear. You know, I've asked the Lord that myself many a times. And every Sunday before service, I always thank the Lord that I'm going to hear Him speak. I come expecting to hear Him speak to me. Now, the same thing could be true on Tuesday and Thursday nights. Do you come expecting to hear the Lord speak to you, the Holy Spirit to give revelation to you? Or do you come to hear two people get up and talk about the Scriptures? I thank the Lord every Tuesday and Thursday before class. I thank you that we're going to hear you speak, that your Holy Spirit is going to teach us every week. Because I know it's true. I hear the Lord speak. I know when the Lord speaks through me. Because I know what I don't know. I know I don't know. And you know, a man can say something, or a woman could say something, over and over and over. But when the Lord says it to you, that's a whole different ballgame. It's like you hear it for the very first time. And so, let us learn from the Israelites. We have a tremendous example here in the Word of God. Here's some things that you should do. Here's some things that you shouldn't do. Let's pay attention. And may our hearts be open to hear Him. Y'all, we don't have stony hearts anymore. If we have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have a heart to perceive. We have eyes that can see and ears that can hear. Just got to make sure our eyes are open and our ears are attentive.
This, you know, you think about this in light of what Moses has told the people. You saw with your eyes, you heard with your ears, but it never got to your heart. Okay. Remember when Jesus was teaching how he would say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, this is not, we're not giving this out just to put in your head. It's just a revelation of what God is saying. That's what Jesus was telling the people. Get the revelation of what God's saying. You can criticize me. But what's God saying? What's God saying to you? And that's what we're talking about. Who cares what Pete says? What is God saying? And that's what I want to hear. I want to hear what the Spirit of the Lord said. I don't care who the preacher is. If he is a preacher, I just want to hear what God said. I'm going to tell you, the Lord has spoken to me through some very unlikely people. But I knew when they spoke that God was talking to me. And so I pay attention for that. It doesn't matter who the person is. It doesn't matter if they have credentials or they don't have credentials. That's man-made stuff. Do you have ears to hear the Spirit? That's the thing. And you develop in that.
Yeah.
You develop in that sensitivity. Just like you develop naturally. You know, you think about just in natural life, you go along and you hear a noise and No big deal. Or you hear a noise and you give that noise your undivided attention. Now you're going to learn more. But if you just go on, you don't even know where the noise came from. Nothing like that. Well, it didn't affect me. You don't know if it did or it did. You have to pay attention. And I can tell you, God doesn't waste words.
Thank you. Verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you, and your shoe is not waxen old upon your foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know that I am the Lord your God.
So Moses is just reminding the Israelite, I've been leading you guys for 40 years. And during this time, your clothes haven't worn out. Your sandals haven't worn out. You haven't eaten bread. You haven't drunk wine or any other intoxicating drink. God has kept you sober so you would recognize that the Lord's taking care of you. Not many people wear their clothes 40 years, especially their shoes. Can you imagine that? For 40 years and your shoes not wearing out, especially when your transportation is walking. But you can just start taking things for granted. And that's the thing that I've seen in the years of ministry is people start out and, you know, they're excited when they first start out, and then they just take things for granted. Oh, well, you know, I've seen that before, and they don't pay any attention to it. So you can actually get anesthetized to the Spirit of God moving to where it doesn't affect you. Yeah, that's what should have happened. It's amazing. And here we have the example. Do you think that's not supernatural? But yet, how much thought do you think the Israelites had given to that? He had to remind them. Guys, look at your clothes. Look at your shoes. They're in good shape. You know, it's not like the Western world where you have to change something every week or whatever, you know. People get bored. They don't recognize the blessing of God. They always want more. Chasing every fad that comes out of Hollywood. Want to dress like this and look like this and all that. Crazy. You have to learn to be content in the blessings God has blessed you with.
That's right. And just to, you think about, we just read here how they had not eaten bread. You remember what they ate? Manna, angel's food, is how the psalmist described it.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want it. Turned their nose up at it. Didn't want it. You know, the same thing still happens today. The Lord can just bless you with a gift that is just absolutely amazing. We just witnessed this a couple weeks ago. The Lord moved on behalf of a person to just to bless this person. You know what? The person turned his nose up at the gift. I don't want that. That's not what I wanted. Same thing happens today. It's just sad. But you know, all of this, to me, it's a matter of the heart. It all goes back to the heart. Are you keeping a posture of gratitude? Are you mindful of how the Lord is moving on your behalf? Is your heart postured to want to even hear Him speak?
You know, back many years ago, and I'll be very vague with this, betraying any confidence of any sort, but there was a young couple that came through, and you know, we were at another place at another time, okay, and they didn't have anywhere to stay, and you know, didn't have money, which was an interesting thing, how people would just get up and move, and I guess that's a faith move, but not faith in God, just faith in people. But anyway, this person came to the church, and they had a problem with their car, and I talked to them, and we put them up, and I said, just let me take a car to the house, and I'll fix your car. And I took a car with me that night, and I fixed his car for him, and brought it back the next day. He didn't have a job, and I talked to some people, and this guy told me that, you know, he would put him to work. And so I was pretty excited about it, and I had got the boy in my office, and actually the board members were there with me. And I told him, I said, you know, we found a job. I said, it may not be what you're looking for, but it's a start, you know. And so I presented it to him, and, well, how much did it pay? And I told him, I can't work for that. And I would like to tell you righteous indignation, but I think it might have just been the flesh that got flat out mad to the point of getting in his face. And I said, it's more than you making. And I said, I'm going to tell you what your problem is. You're too sorry to work. That's your problem. You want everybody to hand out to you. Well, the honeymoon's over. We just cut you off. You understand? You don't like to get into those situations, but people take advantage, and then they start expecting. Well, I've been in church. I've done this. I've done that. God owes me. God doesn't owe you anything. You owe him everything, but he doesn't owe you anything. But people think God owes them. People think society owes them. I get tired of hearing that word entitlement and all this kind of stuff. You know, I believe in helping people, but I believe in helping people who help themselves. I don't believe in just supporting sorriness and laziness. You understand? Nor does God. And God was blessing the people who were supposed to be representing him who didn't represent him. Wow, they never recognized what God was doing for them. Never recognized. God, you know, that guy, I was thinking, God gave me that job. You know, that's how I would be looking at that. Yeah, I'll go to work there and I'll do the best I can. And I'll, while I'm there, you know, if I have opportunity to help myself, then... And then we'll do whatever. The people aren't content. Paul said, I've learned to be content. Whatever, say, if I'm in prison, I'm content. If I'm abounding, I'm content. Here's what he's saying. The circumstances are not controlling my life. God's controlling my life. Circumstances controlled the Israelites' life rather than allowing God to control, and consequently, they never recognized the goodness of God. Sad.
Very sad. May not that not be said of us, right? Amen to that. And when you come into this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out against us unto battle, and we smote them. And we took their land, and gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, and kept therefore the words of this covenant, and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Excuse me, and keep therefore.
And so he's sort of rehearsing things. Moses is sort of rehearsing things that God has done, you know, reminding them, you know, here's a mighty king, two mighty kings. And because God is fighting for you, you defeat those kings. Not only do you defeat them, but you utterly destroy them, and you get their land. And this land was a very good land that ended up being divided between the Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And he says, now pay attention to the covenant. Pay attention to the covenant that God's cut with you. Stay true to God. You be mindful of the benefits in this covenant, but you better be mindful of the consequences. There's blessings, there's curse. Walk in the blessing. Pretty simple, right? If you don't walk in the blessing, guess where you're walking? In the curse. So I highly recommend walking in the blessing of God. What does that mean? Walk according to the will of God. Then you're walking in the blessing. We're not talking about stuff. We're talking about agreeing with God. That's where the blessing is. When you're in agreement with God, that's where the blessing is. You understand? You're not seeking a blessing. You're just blessed because you're putting God as your priority. And because you're putting God as your priority, God takes care of you.
I do think so often when we hear that word blessing, we automatically go to natural things.
Oh, yeah.
And think that it's all tied to, you know, riches and all kinds of natural things. But I'll tell you this. I had a situation come before me not too long ago. And it was actually a temptation, a trial. And my flesh wanted to do one thing, but I knew the Lord wanted me to do another. And when I was obedient to His word, the second I was obedient to Him, the thing that my flesh wanted to do just totally even stopped thinking about it. And a blessing came. And I'm going to tell you how the blessing came. Revelation after revelation after revelation just started rolling in on His word. It was absolutely miraculous from my perspective. Questions that I had for years answered. The word of God start opening up. So blessing, when we hear the word blessing today, let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. Does He bless us naturally? Of course He does. But we're not to store up our riches here on earth. We're supposed to be focused on the spiritual, on the heavenlies.
No, the greater blessing is revelation.
Oh, yeah.
You understand? As a matter of fact, my brother and I were talking today where we came from. And I was actually having to laugh about some things, you know. There was three of us boys, and one of them made a lot of money and had nothing to show for it when he died. It just went through his hands. And the other one didn't make nearly as much, but he was an excellent manager. And, he's done well. He feels comfortable or whatever. And I looked at me. And, we were riding down the road, the three of us, and my younger brother, he was talking about, he made this and this and this. They were discussing some things, and I sat in the back seat. And he told how much money he made. I said, I've not made that much money in my lifetime. I mean, he's talking about how much money he made in 2 years or something like that. I said, I hadn't made that much money in my lifetime. And of course, that was the truth. I mean, it was the truth. And they got tickled and started laughing about it. And I'm one that, by the world standards, they'd look down their nose at me, you know, as far as even as ministers. I'm not interested in how much money the church pays me. We don't even, I'm the one that writes the budget, and I don't put it in the budget. I'm not looking for raises. I'm not looking for how much money I can get out of the church and that type of stuff. God's called me to give too. Now, I don't go without anything. God takes care of me. I'm happy. You understand? No, I don't have no humongous bank account and all that kind of stuff, but I've got everything I need. You understand? Jesus didn't have a lot. He knew his source. And when he got in a situation where he needed something, he just drew off his source. And you just have to learn, Lord, you know what I need. You know, I'm just thanking for the way you blessed me. I lived in a neighborhood growing up that you paid rent by the week. Did I tell you anything about the neighborhood? It ought to. And Heather was laughing at my brother today. He said, I'm afraid to even go back over there today in the area where we grew up in. But back then, you didn't know the difference. You know, if that's the way you grow up, you don't know how they live on the other side of town. And Mom and Daddy were doing the best they could do. And it wasn't like they were squandering anything. Daddy worked day and night. And you know, over a period of time, they were faithful to God. And God blessed them enough to where they could buy this little four-room house, a little less than 1,000 square feet. And the three boys and Mom and Daddy, that's where we grew up till the time we went in service until Mama died. That house was just... That is still the house, you understand. I thought we'd moved into a mansion when we came out of the neighborhood that we'd been in a little house. One bathroom, five people. You understand? The people today think they have to have so much. And I wouldn't take anything for my heritage. You understand? Because I've seen what God has done. And how God's taken care of us, the whole family, how God's taken care of us. And so it's not the amount of possessions you have. You're not going to take a dime with you. You understand? But you can lay treasures up. As Heather was talking about, the revelation that God gives you that will benefit other people. And so when Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, he wasn't looking for people to give him. When preachers say it today, they want to take an offering. You understand? And I've said it, I mean, in my heart many times. Well, if you think it's so much more blessed to give and receive, why don't you start giving? You're wanting everybody to give, show us giving. Demonstrate it. But I can tell you that it's more blessed to give than receive. There's a greater joy. I love helping people. You understand? I like giving to people. But I'm not interested in helping the freeloaders. You understand? I give them a word. Get a job. You follow me?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. I'll get
Verse
off of that.
10.
Okay.
You stand this day, all of you, before the Lord your God, your captains of your tribes, your elders, and your officers with all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of the water. That thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath, which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob.
So, note this, he has assembled the entire nation from top to the bottom. You understand? The slaves, everybody. Adults, children, it doesn't matter. All right, I want to bring you before the Lord to renew this covenant. The whole nation is entered into a covenant with the Lord. You get that? The entire nation. Now, here's first thing. God is to be the exclusive God of the nation. Well, that just agrees with Commandment 1, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, you're to be his people. He'll be your God. He'll be God to you to provide and protect you. But he's to be your God for you to worship and represent. This is your part. This is his part. This is the covenant. I'll be God to you, but I want to be your God. You understand? It's a reciprocal here. I'll do for you, you do for me. Okay? Now, that's what he swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Pardon?
Oh, okay. Very good. That was quick.
All right. We'll stop there and take the break, and then we'll pick back up at verse 14.